We can look at these crowns and see, will they make a nice knick-knack, you know, on our dresser? You know, we can think about various things that we could do with these crowns. But here we see these 24 elders, and they have these crowns on their head. And they didn't have to wonder about what to do with these crowns, because there was a time in heaven when they saw the Lord on the throne, and it was just their natural response, because they were thankful, because they had salvation, because God had saved them, because God had taken them through, that their natural response was just to take the crown off of their head and bow down before the throne and lay it before our Lord.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2.
Oh. They were judged, and they were rewarded, and now they take their crowns, and they lay them at the master's. I like the song, I'm going to wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to wear a crown. As soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down my heavy burden. I'm going to pick up my robe and crown in glory. I'm going to shout and tell the glad story. I'm going to wear a crown. Man, just think. And the crown is not going to be, you know, notice again, it's not one of them kingly crowns that you can put on your head and walk around heaven with your chest all puffed out, saying, look at me. I got a diadem on my head. I'm a king. I'm a ruler. That's not that kind of crown. But it's a crown, it's a laurel wreath that was plaited out of a tree. It's a golden crown that you get it and you put it on your head because you said that I've competed in the race of life. And I've not only competed in the race of life, but I've been judged, I've been rewarded. And Lord, here's what I have for you. Here's what I give to you. And I believe in some sense that we're all going to have a crown. I'm not sure. I'm going to make a case here that I think that some people will have a crown that might be more meaningful than other people. You know, as I said before, some people going to get to heaven based on the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he died for your sins, and you're going to get there, oh, Lordy, and some are going to get there, thank you, Lordy, but I believe all will get there, praise the Lordy. And so I believe all of us are going to have a crown, but there's something, I hope I'm going to put my finger on it here in a second, but there's something about the crown that you get that's going to be distinctive, that's going to distinguish. Something about, watch this now, about your service. Something about how you serve the Lord. I'm going to show you that here in a second. The crown is a reward based on one's earthly life. Notice this, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets who were before you. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. And then in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. Saints, what you do down here matters. say, well, you know, I'm not so concerned about getting rewarded in heaven. I just love Jesus, and I just want to be there because I love Jesus. That's fine, too. I want to be there because I love Jesus. But the man said that he was going to give me a reward. Now, why am I going to argue him out of the fact that this is what he wants to do and that this reward is based on our service here on this earth? The Bible speaks of crowns, and there's five crowns spoken of in the Bible, and I've put them under three categories. There's the salvation, which is the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul told the people of Thessalonica, watch this. He said, you are my crown. What did Paul do? Paul won them to the Lord. And Paul spent time discipling them so that they could grow and mature in their faith. And Paul says, when I get to heaven, that I have a crown, that my crown is the people in Thessalonica who I led to the Lord, who I discipled. You know, there's time now for you to build up, polish up, shine up. I don't know what you're going to do with the crown as far as that's concerned, but there's time for you to take care of business in relationship to your crown. Once you get to heaven, it's too late. There's nothing else you can do to work on your crown. Paul said, I'm going to get mine while I'm here. And even on one occasion, Paul talked about the fact that it's better for me to go home. It's better for me to go home. It's better for me to go to the city of gold. But for your sakes, I'm going to stay here because I need to polish up my crown a little bit more. That there's still some folk that need to be saved, that there are still some folk that need to be discipled. God didn't leave us here to sit, soak, sour, and stink. He left us here to be busy about winning souls and about discipling people. You know, I know we've been talking with the men here, and we're going to get that film, The Forge, and we're going to bring it, and we're going to show it to the men. And when that date comes out, brothers, I want all of y'all to put it on your calendar. I want to see all the men come. Because after the movie, what we're going to do is challenge brothers to find somebody to disciple. To find somebody to disciple. And again, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, well, thank Pastor Glaze, thank the men's fellowship that I got involved, right? That I got involved in discipleship. And some of you are already discipling. Praise God for that. We think if you're already discipling somebody, praise God for that. But we want to let you know that that will be the basis of one of the crowns, soul winning and discipleship. I put this next group of crowns into the category called sanctification. And the first crown in the sanctification is the crown of incorruption. And that is exercising self-discipline. Exercising self-discipline. That you're in this race, and in order for you to stay in the race, you got to discipline yourself to stay in the race. There's going to be many things that come along to discourage you, many things that come along to take you out. And we see a lot of people today that started out in the race, and now they're sitting on the side of the road. Why are you on the other side of the road because I got discouraged. Why are you on the side of the road? Because somebody said something to me that offended me. Why are you on the side of the road? Because I fell into temptation. Why are you on the side of the road? Because I couldn't control my emotions. There's a lot of people sitting on the side of the road. But Paul said that they that run in a race run all. He said they do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown, an imperishable crown. That's what we're running for. And then he went on to say after that, that basically, my brothers and sisters, in order to get this crown, all you got to do is stay in the race. Discipline yourself to stay in the race. He said, that's why I bring my body into subjection. He said, because after I preach to others, I don't want to become a castaway. I don't want to become one on the sideline. I want to discipline myself to just stay in the race. And if I discipline myself through all the obstacles and adversities of life, man, we've been doing a series on Wednesday on spiritual warfare. And you know, man, the devil is waiting to take you out. He wants to take you out. And you got to discipline yourself and stay in the race. You got to discipline yourself by reading the Word of God. You got to discipline yourself by exercising prayer. You got to discipline yourself by staying away from the things that seek to destroy you. Then there's the crown of life. James said, blessed is everyone that endures trials and temptations, for you shall receive a crown of life. The crown of life. Are you going through something right now? Is Satan beating up on you? Are trials and tribulations trying to take you out? As you persevere through those things, there's a reward that's waiting for you. You know, I said it last week, and I believe that people who are suffering around the world, and if you look at things that are happening to Christians around the world, man, they're suffering. They're being martyred. They're being persecuted. They're dealing with all type of opposition. That's terrible. And yet and still they keep going on. Yeah, I was reading a story about Corrie Ten Boom, who was in the German persecution and was in the camps, and how that on one occasion they were dealing with fleas. And there were fleas all in the barracks or dorm or wherever they were at. There were fleas in there. And there were some of the people in there that were complaining about the fleas. And Corrie Ten Boom was praising God for the fleas. And she wrote in her book that one of the reasons that she praised God for the fleas because the German soldiers would not come in. And they were able to have Bible study and they were able to have prayer. And they were able to strengthen themselves as they went through that time of persecution. Oh, I believe that there's a crown waiting for those, waiting for Corrie Ten Boom. I believe there's a crown that's waiting for them when they get to heaven. When all the fleas, you know, just think when she got her crown on. You know, maybe, you know, in her mind, she may be thinking about the fleas, right? And she would just say, put it before him. Lord, I went through that for you. What are you going through? James says that you will receive a crown of life that you can put before him for enduring persecution, for enduring trials and tribulation. There's the crown of righteousness. Let me read this crown to you. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, I like that. A crown of righteousness. Yeah, only one person getting this crown. I only heard one person say amen. Only one person looking forward to getting this crown, right? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. Amen. How do you get this crown? By laboring, the two L's, laboring and looking, serving. You know, I see people, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of service going on outside of this church. So I'm not minimizing that. I see a whole lot of service. But I'm here on a daily basis, and I see people serving. Oh, I see people laboring, coming and doing the same thing week after week, laboring for the Lord. There's a crown. There's a crown waiting for you. Oftentimes, I'll joke with the people who are serving in the kitchen. And they'll be back there, man. They'll be laboring and they'll be, working. And on my way out the door, I'll tell them. Some of y'all have heard me tell you this. Pick your check up on the way out. Sadly, Pastor Glaze is just joking. There's no check waiting for you. But what? But there is a crown. Great is your reward in heaven. That just think, all the things that you did that you thought went unnoticed, that you laying them up as you on your way to heaven. So Paul says that there's a crown of righteousness, which is for those who labor and look. Now this last crown, y'all can't get. This is only for Pastor Glaze. This is a crown for faithful shepherds. You know, and I pray and I hope that when I get to glory, that, you know, Peter said that those who have overseen the flock, that there's a crown that waits for them. And you know, I pray and I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe if I hear that, there's a crown that waits for me. And what am I going to do with this crown? I'm going to lay it at his feet. And so I want to close and leave you with three things before I close. The thankfulness, as we roll into Thanksgiving, the thankfulness of the 24 elders. As they, I believe that these crowns were an expression of their thankfulness to the Lord for what he had done for them. Notice they expressed their worship. The thankfulness came out in the fact that they expressed it in their worship. Revelation 4, 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Worship. That our thanksgiving should be expressed in our worship. It should be expressed in our praise. Notice in chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, that when we praise God, that there ought to be a thankfulness that comes out as a result of us praising him. Verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, notice, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang. Oh, they sang a new song. And they said, thou art worthy to take the scroll and its seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. You saved us. You sanctified us. You set us apart. You adopted us. You put us in the family of God. You have redeemed us unto God by your blood and out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. That there was some thankfulness when they put those crowns down. They put them down with a thankful heart. They said, Lord, it's by your blood that we've been redeemed. It's by your blood that we've been saved. And then finally, they expressed it in adoration. They expressed it in adoration. Revelation 5, look at this, 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures. Here they go again. Here we go again. And the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, that word loud voice, megaphone, megaphone, saying with a loud voice, those of us that have problems with noise in the worship service down here, we're going to have a big problem in heaven because it says that they said with a megaphone, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, yeah. Can you imagine all this worship going on in heaven? Here you got the one on the throne, you got the Lamb, and you got them crying blessing and glory and honor and all this. And then, you know, in my mind, all of a sudden, it gets quiet. And the four living creatures. Amen. Amen. And the 24 elders. Amen. And we're going to be thankful throughout eternity because we will worship him forever and ever and ever. There was two good friends. Amen. Leroy and Willie. And Leroy asked Willie to loan him $20. And Willie said, no way, I'm not going to do it. And Leroy said, man, you remember the time that they were getting ready to repossess your car? And I helped you get your car out of tow so that you could drive it? He said, yeah, you did. You did do that. He said, do you remember the time that you were in the hospital and I took your son to football practice every day? And he said, yeah. He said, I got to admit, you did do that. He said, you remember that time when we were growing up and them guys was getting ready to jump you and I had your back? He said, you sure did. He said, well, why don't you want to lend me $20? He said, well, what have you done for me lately? When we get to heaven, it's not going to be one of those things with God, what have you done for me lately? What he has done will ring in our hearts throughout eternity, and we will be forever thankful, casting our crowns at his feet.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series, God's Antidote for Mental Health Issues. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Calais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is a high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can anchor in the Lord.